Tonight, State Senator Dan Katowski joins us for How Can We Help? We'll get a legal breakdown from our favorite lawyer, Rich Lenkov. And finally, Pretty Late's Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano, rides sidecar. All that and more right now from the Showcase Studio West. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting. I'm having a little bit of trouble. We're having technical difficulties already because I'm not able to hear you, Craig, on the air. I think I'm hearing you, like, in my headset.
Can you hear me now?
So if you could just do the entire show through my headset, and then I will try to broadcast to WGN. This will work out very smoothly. I can feel it already. I cannot at all. I can't hear anything, but that's okay. I have so many voices in my head, and with the kind of experience I'm having in Los Angeles, this seems par for the course. I am broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studios West, and live in our Allstate Showcase Studios in the Tribune Tower is Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer from the Red Eye. Elliot, I think I have to listen to you through my phone. This should be very interesting tonight if we can't figure this out.
I can hear you fine.
Ooh,
I can't.
There it is.
I can't hear Craig, though, so I don't know what's going on.
No one can hear me.
Oh, now
I can hear
you.
Everyone.
Oh, I can hear Esmeralda. This is, oh.
But Patty still can't
booth.
Hear me.
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Okay, we're all
now I'm talking, but I can't hear myself.
These are good problems to have. This is the kind of radio that I'm sure Jimmy DiCastro and Todd Manley are in their offices thinking, you know, I wonder what happens in the middle of the night. I really hope that they're just trying to figure out the technical difficulties. I am so glad to have you all. And by the way, Esmeralda, I think you're reporting on a traffic incident in my own neighborhood, Devon, Harlem, and Northwest Highway.
Well, good thing you're not there.
That's exactly where I
am. Because you would
not
be stuck.
Exactly where I grew up. I would be very stuck. That's over by the old, there's an old dealership. I actually knew the guy who owned that place who was actually indicted and convicted of embezzlement. And
oh,
I believe,
right.
Sir, I know it's a whole, like, very controversial corner over there. Every time I drive by, I'm like, yep, that's the guy that went to jail. But speaking of corruption, I've been listening to WGN all day, the conversation about what's going on still in the state of Illinois, and Governor Rauner continued. And not that I'm not saying that Governor Rauner's corrupt. I'm just saying that's our reputation around the country, that we are corrupt, and that's why nothing gets done. But Rob, I was listening earlier. So the governor really is pushing for a bankruptcy of CPS because the teachers union was unable to come to an agreement with the offer from Claypool. Is that correct?
Well, he's still pushing for it. John Cullerton said earlier in the week that any type of legislation like that will be dead on arrival. Those are Cullerton's words. Today, however, CPS managed to secure $725 million, which is about $100 million shy of what they really wanted. And they're also going to pay increased fees just because of their current financial situation. So, yeah, the hits keep on going here in Chicago.
Where did they get $725 million for CPS?
They floated more bonds. Yeah.
Oh.
So here's the thing. What's interesting is that they floated these bonds to investors. So the investors are going to go ahead and buy these bonds. Now, CPS wanted them at rates of lower than 8%. What they ended up getting was 8.5% on these bonds at 28 years, which is really exorbitant.
These bonds, the people that we got the bonds from, do they then in 28 years, if we don't pay up in full, like, do they just own CPS?
Yeah, the way it works is that CPS issues these bonds, then you go to potential investors and you try to get them to buy these bonds at a particular rate.
They want to make money off the 8%. Is what those investors would do.
The investors, the reason why the investors are forking over $725 million is because they know they're going to be making money back over the period of 28 years. Now, here's the interesting part about this particular bond buy and the bonds that have been floated by CPS is that they also issued basically an order that even if CPS by some sort of freak of nature declares bankruptcy, the bondholders will still get paid. So CPS bails out, they're still beholden to the bondholders.
Right, because usually when you claim a bankruptcy, that's a way to alleviate any sort of pressure you have from shareholders and from collectors. Interesting.
Right.
So my guess is that it was an attempt to avoid the governor taking over and turning the entire CPS department into a charter school. So there's $100 million they were asking for $500 million
from
Springfield.
They were asking in this particular bond issue, they were actually looking for $825. They ended up getting $725.
Okay.
So.
What an interesting place to sort of draw the line.
Yeah.
All right. We'll give you the one, but not the other. So.
Yeah. And you know, again.
Not the $100 million. We'll give you a bunch of millions, not the other millions.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, so. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no, that's okay. Yeah, no, that's where they are. And it's, you know, it's one of these deals where clearly you have CPS and CTU on the same page on this particular issue. They do not want the state to take over. But, you know, this $725 million barely takes care of this year. That's only money that they need for this year. It still doesn't address long-term issues.
Which is exactly the same thing that happened with our parking meters. It basically took care of 2 years of our financial stress, and then we've sold them for 75 years. So we've taken on a 28-year obligation that will only take care of 1 year.
And here's the official – this is actually what it's called. The district issued what is called a disclosure statement that ensures investors will get paid even if CPS down the road declares bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's an interesting clause to put in there. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's it's a smart move. I don't know who wouldn't take that deal. Right after this break, we're going to talk to writer Evan Halper from the Los Angeles Times and why Bernie Sanders, right? Because it would be a U if it was Saunders. Bernie Sanders is a juggernaut as he rolls into New Hampshire. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I'm in Los Angeles for the week, and we've been pretty excited about the turnout on Monday night for the Iowa caucus was staggering. A 50% increase from the 2012 caucus. 180,000 people showed up to voice their opinions. And I think one of the most interesting things was Bernie Sanders pretty much going neck to neck with Hillary Clinton. And we have on the line with us from the LA Times, Evan Halper. Hey, Evan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Are you getting any sleep as you kind of follow this campaign from town to town?
You know, I was not in Iowa. My colleagues were there. I just got to New Hampshire. But, I've been here a couple of days. I feel like I've been here a month. You pack in a lot in a short amount of time.
Now, are you following one campaign? Are you with the Bernie Sanders campaign?
I've been splitting my time among the Democrats, so I spent some time with the Clinton campaign, some time with the Sanders campaign.
So in your piece that you wrote today about Bernie kind of rolling in as a juggernaut, because it was – how okay, let's put it this way. How surprising were the results on Monday night when it came to this part of the campaign?
If you were watching closely, they were actually not that surprising. I mean, because the polls kept showing at one point he was up by a few points in Iowa, and then he started to slide, and it was looking like we were writing up until the last minute that it was looking like a dead heat. The Des Moines Register poll, which everyone looks at as the most reliable, I mean, you have to remember Iowa's really hard to poll because it's a caucus state and things happen in caucuses. It's not like you just go in and cast your ballot and leave. People have conversations and they change their minds and sometimes they don't show up and, they tell...
Or people leave. Weren't there... They were having trouble recounting votes. There was video and they were accusing some in the Clinton campaign of not accurately counting the people that were even there.
I mean, that's a whole other mess. And then the coin toss situation and the caucuses are just a unique... they're a unique breed, yeah. So... a tie. It was just extraordinary because it's never been that close before. You just don't expect, even though the polls showed it was very close, you sort of don't expect it's going to end in a tie. And the Register poll showed that Clinton had sort of edged ahead, and she seemed to have momentum toward the end. So I think we were expecting she was going to win more decisively.
Well, and I'm guessing that was their confidence as well, because she went out and claimed victory, even though it was, I mean, what was it? It came down to 0.2 of a point, 0.02? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, she claimed a victory because she wants to show momentum. I mean,
sure.
You know, that was, whether they really think that was a decisive victory or not is another story, but obviously she wants to come out of there, show that things are under control, that, you know, if she had lost in Iowa... all the second guessing that happens every time her campaign stumbles would have really revved up. You would have seen donors starting to ask questions and all kinds of things. And so she really had to win Iowa to show that confidence. And so even though she barely won, you know, she's talking like, she won big.
You know, Evan, real quick, are a lot of people comparing this to Obama in 08 and how surprising maybe his rise was? Is that a fair comparison? And are you hearing that a lot?
Well, it's not really a fair comparison in that if you looked at the turnout in Iowa for Obama, it was significantly greater than it was for Sanders. So Sanders got quite a bit of turnout. And, I mean, there are some comparisons in that, you know, he's this insurgent and Clinton was supposed to be the clear front runner and she was supposed to be the prohibitive front runner. And obviously he's giving her a run for her money, at least in these two early states. But you know, the Obama situation, I mean, he had a lot more establishment support. You know, he won Iowa quite decisively. So, you know, and he drew a much higher turnout than Sanders was able to.
Now, New Hampshire, what kind of response and, you know, reaction are you getting from voters as Hillary rolls in? Because and I actually am kind of curious about the local traditions that they have to, you know, involve themselves in Iowa. There's the loose meat sandwiches and going to people's homes. What kind of things are they doing in New Hampshire to ingratiate themselves?
Well, you know, Hillary is really good at sort of picking up on local customs, and it's interesting because Bernie, you know, he's from New England, he's from Vermont, and he's got the sort of home court advantage here because New Hampshire always seems to favor the candidate who's from northern New England if one is on the ballot. But he has a hard time making those connections. So Hillary's like out there talking about the how much she likes smutty nose beer, for example. You know,
I like that she's saying that, smutty nose beer.
Yeah. It's a, you know, she's fond of the product and the company.
Sure.
So, you know, and she seems to know the intricacies of like community college process. Although I was talking to one of my colleagues who was at like a Chris Christie event, and they were somewhere in the northern part of the state, and I guess one of the voters said, "I want to know what you think about the bobcat problem." And you know,
ooh.
Chris Christie did something that probably most candidates wouldn't, but he just said, "You know, I got to be honest with you, I have no idea what you're talking about, and you're going to have to fill me in on the bobcat problem."
That's interesting because we also have a bobcat problem. We were just talking about our bobcat problem in Illinois last night. So I want to know what Chris Christie thinks.
You should come to New Hampshire.
We'll have to let us know. We think in Illinois, part of the reason they want to be able to capture bobcats is they want something else to shoot. But that's just our theory on the show.
Right.
We're not entirely sure. But that's fascinating. Now, how are you getting from location to location? Are you traveling with – I know you said you're kind of covering the Democratic side. How do you pick which event you're going to travel to? Is it a designation of distance or just kind of playing it by ear?
It's harder for the Republican side because there are just so many candidates and you just can't. I mean, I was looking at the list of events for tomorrow because the Democrats, there's a debate tomorrow night, as you probably know, and they don't have at the moment any events scheduled during the day. So I just noticed, you know, gosh, if you're trying to do the Republican side, there's so many events in so many different places. The Democratic side is easier. There's two of us, at the LA Times Tribune Bureau that split it up. And so so we can usually be at all of them. There's a bus if you want to take the bus. And it used to be that everyone would just ride the bus. And, you know, back when there were more print journalists doing these campaigns, you'd be embedded and you'd just stay with one campaign, stay on the bus. But now, you know, as budgets have been cut and there's less hands available. And it's also these campaigns, especially, you know, when you're covering like Hillary Clinton, it's become so scripted what she's doing. And there's so little access to the candidate that you almost don't even want to be on the bus because it sort of gets suffocating. You're better off kind of floating around and being able to go around and talk with the crowd. In my case, I have a rental car and I'm just trying to, you know, dart around to all these events. Some people embed with the campaign and just stay on the bus and travel with them everywhere.
Well, I love that you're doing both, kind of trying to get a feel for which direction they're going in. What was your reaction when Hillary Clinton claimed that she is also a progressive in her victory speech on Monday night?
Well, that's been the theme all day today because Bernie Sanders, you know, after Hillary Clinton made that speech, he did a gaggle in Keene, New Hampshire. And he said, well, some days she's a progressive, and, you know, some days she's announcing that she's a moderate, and, you know, you can't be both. And they, the two of them got in this really intense back and forth about what a progressive is, who it is, and who gets to decide that. Right. And, you know, he made a compelling case for why you can't be a progressive and a moderate, and talked about a bunch of her votes voting for the war in Iraq, you know, her hesitance to come out against the Pacific Trade Agreement that all the labor unions despise, her unwillingness to come out until the last minute against the Keystone Pipeline. Right. You know, and he said these are things where the progressive community was united and she was on the other side. And of course, she comes back and says, look at all the achievements I've been involved in. I mean, before they called it Obamacare, they called it Hillary Care, you know, and on global warming, on child care. I mean, she, you know, she was in government for a long time and she has been at the center of a lot of policy achievements that progressives consider their own. So she said she has every right to carry the progressive mantle. And, you know, that theme has actually, as she's counts herself as the underdog here and she is behind in the polls, you know, she's really been pushing back on that hard and has almost used that criticism from Senator Sanders saying she doesn't deserve to call herself a progressive. It's almost energized her. And you can see that she just did a nationally televised town hall on CNN, and that was a big theme during it.
Now, I know you're going to be very busy on Monday. Is there any chance we can talk to you after the when is there the primary? Is it on the 9th?
It's let's see. It's Tuesday. Yeah. It's
Tuesday.
Right.
Can we talk to you the night before? I know you're going to be crazy busy. Is there any chance we can lock you in? My producer, you don't have to answer now.
No, it's totally fine. Let's put him slightly on the spot.
A little bit on the spot.
Yeah, you know, if my editors make the time for me, I'd love to. I don't even know what my day looks like tomorrow because everything changes so rapidly here. But hopefully, we can do this again.
Got it. Off the air, we'll send
we
your.
Appreciate it.
We'll get some
yes.
addresses and we'll send your editors some sort of gift of some kind. We'll make
sure.
This all work.
Right.
And again, this is Evan Halper from the LA Times. We appreciate your time. Get some rest and get on that campaign tomorrow. Have a little bit of fun. I hope there's at least some good food. Get some snotty nose beer if you have to. Whatever
you know,
it takes.
Patty, I am curious, real quick, from Evan too, who he thinks is going to win. I want a prediction in New Hampshire.
You know, you don't make predictions in New Hampshire because voting, especially here, because things are so volatile, voters make up their mind at, like, the very last minute. You know, so many voters are just not decided right now that, you know, it's at your peril that you would make a prediction a week out.
Playing their cards close to the vest. Well, you can't hate that. That's kind of cool. Again, thank you, Evan. It would be a pleasure to talk to you next week if you have time for us, and get some rest and hope all goes well this weekend. It'll be exciting, to say the least.
Nice to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are all up pretty late, including our in-studio co-host, Elliot Serrano. And we haven't turned his microphone on yet. We don't know if we want to hear from him. You can turn
No, you don't want to hear
Elliot.
From me. No.
I do want to hear from you, Elliot. And we have on the line with us our good friend and favorite for the Pretty Late Show, State Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe. And if you go to his Facebook page, Dan Katowski, you can find out how you can help one of the group homes that he is is responsible for now, I would say, is the best way to put it. You're responsible for the well-being of so many people now.
There's a lot of people who are saying it's about time I was responsible for.
Be responsible for the well-being.
But, hey, we got great news that happened this week. There's this local company, Scott Mattress Firm. They're all over the place. I went there because they had a pajama drive for for children who are in foster care, and customers were bringing in new pajamas, and they said, you know, I was talking about mattresses, and they said, do you have any needs for mattresses? I said, yeah, actually we have 18 beds that need to be replaced, and they said, huh, let us check on it. And named Rachel Burr from Mattress Firm, they checked on it. They provided our group homes for children who are in foster care ages 13 to 18, they provide us with 18 brand new mattresses.
Oh, so congratulations.
Terrific. Yeah.
That's Mattress Firm?
Yeah, Mattress Firm. So they're wonderful. They've been such a great, corporate citizen and a great community partner for us and for most important for for kids who are at risk. First for the pajama drive, now this. And, you know, they dropped off. I was there and they dropped off the mattresses in Naperville at one of our homes. And then they went to Lyle and they went to Downers Grove. And they've really stepped up in a very, very big way. And it's important for the young people in our care that they feel, not like I talked to you before, not safe, secure, and comfortable, but they're able to rest and sleep well and be able to have every opportunity to achieve their potential. So it's very exciting.
I mean, they're going through such a terrifying situation to know that when they go to rest and relax, close their eyes, they have one less thing to worry about at bedtime. So congratulations and thank you so much to Mattress Firm. And beyond that, you know, there's a way for our listeners to help at one of the group homes for young girls, clean up the house, rip up the floor, put in new flooring. You can go to GoFundMe.com and look for ChildServe. And what is the exact, what's the best way? Do they look for you? Because I have it posted on my Facebook page. And I know that it is for ChildServe group home.
Yeah, search
right?
It. It's under ChildServe. Yeah, it's under a new floor, the group home for new floor. But just search for ChildServe, and we'll find it. And that's a post that we have right now. And raised just in a couple of weeks was about $1,000. We need about $4,500 more, but we're making progress every day. But so many people have been generous, including. The terrific woman that I'm talking to on the radio right now, Patty Vasquez.
Well, I just want to. I mean, the thing is that we always wonder, you know, why doesn't anyone take care of this? Well, we can. You know, there's so much that's going wrong right now. There's a way to do something right. So I mm-hmm. appreciate the hard work that you're doing, and it's ChildServe, ChildServ. And why do you leave the E off?
Because the work isn't done yet.
Because the work isn't done yet.
A lot of work to be done. That's my Rogers Park way of saying it. The work's not done yet. You got more work to do.
Well, you know, I missed you so much last week when I was in Springfield. I don't know what it's like for you now. You know, for 9 years, you were down there for every legislative session, getting in there, rolling up your sleeves, working hard for your constituents, for the citizens of Illinois. And by the way, are you going to still, even though you're not serving as senator, are you going to try to roll in for Barack Obama's address to the General Assembly?
You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. I have a lot that I have going on next week. I would love to see him speak, and I think he's exactly what people in Springfield need to hear his message. And, you know, I think just the fact that he's coming down there, I think gives a lot of people hope that maybe something will get done. I mean, the president of the United States has an awful lot of credibility here in Illinois as well as throughout the rest of the country. So I think it's so exciting and thrilling. And unfortunately, I have commitments to my job that I just can't get away from. But you know, I was there when he made his announcement in Springfield. Mm-hmm. I was there when he accepted the nomination in Denver, and I was there when he was sworn in Washington, D.C., as well as knocking on doors for him in Dubuque when he first ran in 2008. So.
So you served briefly with him in the, because it would only have been about a year or at all. Was there any crossover?
No, we never, no crossover, no overlap.
No overlap. Interesting. Well,
yeah,
you just mentioned.
Last time I saw him yeah. on like it was, he came into Chicago. It was the day that Mark Burley threw his perfect game. And I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. And he, yeah, my head was completely shaved. He's like, what happened to your hair? And I was like. If the Republicans took it, that's all I can say. You know? But it was we were laughing. But he was it was good to see him. I'm happy that he's coming back to Illinois and that he's going to come speak to the General Assembly. So it's been an exciting week. We're talking to you about exciting week for politics, exciting week in the country. I mean, the Iowa mm-hmm. caucus. I've been there before, and it is while you know Iowa people are so nice and kind, and it's you know they're really. It's really an extraordinary, but it's not the most, it's an understatement, not the most diverse state, right?
Uh-huh.
But it is,
thank you.
But I'm telling you, the experience is just wild and interesting. And I remember being at a school and, for the caucus on the night that, President Obama, then when he was a candidate, won. And it was just so wild to be there. It was just packed and everybody from the community was participating. It was really thrilling. I think it just represents the best of America, you know, people participating in the electoral process, right? And
Yeah, I agree. I get very excited when I get to vote. My husband hates this time of year because I make him dress as a precinct captain. And then as we get closer, I make him dress as an election judge, and he has to be a little cranky and bring me a box of donuts. But I get very excited about the electoral process. I think that having your voice, I mean, look, as a woman, you know, people are starting to put memes up, and as a woman, I am very devoted to exercising my right to vote, to voicing my opinion and my thoughts, and we don't have to agree as long as we don't yell at each other and it doesn't get, I know it gets ugly. Politics get ugly. I've seen now how you guys debate down in Springfield. I can only imagine what it's like in D.C. But this is, you know, you have to be, it's like a lottery. You gotta be in it to win it. And, you know, but it shouldn't be like a lottery. It should just be something that people feel compelled to do, which is get in there and be heard, which is why I keep going to Springfield, which is why I watch these elections. What were your thoughts as the numbers were coming in from Iowa? Because I didn't realize it was going to be that close between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, first of all. Did you?
Oh, I thought it would be. Yeah, I thought it would be. And I, you know, I think it's interesting on both sides of the political aisle. I thought it's exciting. See, I look at these. We were just talking about this as presidential races that, you know, someone can, you know, when you look, can come out of just like seemingly out of nowhere or in a position that has never been to be able to be eligible to run for president or in the position to run and possibly win. And I think it's so exciting for. You know, people support Hillary Clinton. I represent Park Ridge for years. She grew up here. She went to school here. She's from Illinois, and I think it's exciting. I thought she gave a great speech. I thought Bernie Sanders gave a great speech. I thought he was. He had a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. I thought so did she. And I think, you know, I thought there was a. She carried with her a strong air of confidence. In her presentation, and I just, you know, I was telling my wife, like, the way she turned her body and faced the screen was almost like the way George Bailey, when he turned his body to Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life. She just did that body turn. It was something she added, and I was just, I like to watch it. I think, you know, this running for office, I was telling my son that, and he was like, my son didn't want Donald Trump to win, and he was like he was jubilant that he didn't. And I said, look, and I said, it takes a lot of courage to run for office, whether you agree or disagree with the person's position. To run for office, you put yourself out there. I don't care if you're a billionaire or if you're poor or if you're of moderate income. Just to run for office takes a lot of courage and put yourself out there. Now, you know, I may disagree with a lot of the positions that Donald Trump has, but I said, you know, I just wanted him to know that. I said, you know, if I ran the first time, and I barely won by 1,400 votes, I said, but if I lost, you know, I would hope that, you know, there are people out there who said, well, you know what? You know, he lost. He put himself out there. He tried his best. And I said, we listened to all everybody's speech. We listened to Donald Trump's speech. We listened to Marco Rubio's speech. We listened to Ted Cruz's speech. I mean, this is the thing about that night. People who are on both sides of the aisle, you get a chance to hear them. You get a chance to hear their vision. And you also get a chance to hear how people handle themselves in defeat and whether they can be statesmen or stateswomen, right?
Right. Well, let's talk about that. Let's take a quick break because I want to talk about that, too, because I thought that the speeches were very interesting, as you just mentioned, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton's speeches. Let's talk a little bit about the other side, as you were also describing Donald Trump's campaign, because a lot of people are listening going, nobody's that nice. Senator Gutowski's out of his mind. Here's a campaign that's filled with vitriol. I mean, Elliot's laughing because it's almost too gracious. And you know, I don't know if it's your time away from the Senate in Illinois that has made you given you perspective. But I suspect you're always like this, and it's a little disgusting. More with State Senator Dan Gutowski and Elliot Serrano when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are all up pretty late, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. We have our co-host, Elliot Serrano, holding down the fort, and I am in our Allstate Showcase studios west in Los Angeles getting some work done. And as he joins us every week, State Senator Dan Gutowski is on the line, now the CEO of ChildServe. Go to our Facebook to our page and contribute to the GoFundMe campaign that he has for a group home for girls who, you know, are trying to be somewhere they're safe and take care of the environment that they're living in, so they can, you know, get on with their lives and feel protected. Senator Katowski, you've been through this process of going through primaries and through elections and polling and all of those things. So as you watch the speeches, what were your thoughts as Marco Rubio had a victorious third place speech?
Well, first of all, I think about what you had said before. It's like, I wanted to just note something. I thought it's very important for my kids that I take this time for these teachable moments, because there's so much vitriol and there's hate and there's so much disrespect in politics nowadays. That's important that they note those particular things, where I was like, look, when someone runs, you know, just to point out that it takes a certain amount of courage to do it. Now, that being said, it is interesting the decisions that people make. And, you know, I will say that I thought Trump's speech was horrific. I thought it was disrespectful.
It was the one speech that just seemed like a conversation. Like, it was all, I don't even know how to describe it, except for, I mean, he's a narcissist, and that was
I don't give a hell who it is or what it is. Where it's like, you know what? I think this notion there's this whole notion that it's okay to not have a filter and to say whatever the heck is on your mind. And quite frankly, it's not okay. It's better to be thinking. Now, it's a difference between saying that, like, having to, like, to be stifling your true point of view and your true perspective because you don't have that, you're not authentic. But the thing is, you know, it's really okay to be thinking before you say anything. And it really is important.
It's actually encouraged in many places.
Yeah, to be respectful. Like, there are people who I looked at, I admired so much, who were state senators, and Kirk Dillard was one of them. He was just a great statesman. And he'd get up and he would give these terrific speeches when things got, like, too shrill on the Senate floor. Or Dale Ryder, I respected an awful lot. There's a whole host of people I respect a lot. Senator Murphy and I went back and forth against things. All of these people, I Republican Dan Cronin, who I look up to and I admire, just great, decent guy. But the thing is, when you see these speeches, and you hope that people's desire to be able to show the best of what America is comes out in that moment. And so when I listened to Trump's speech, I'm like, this isn't, you know, I'm not hearing what your vision is or anything that's going to capture me. In fact, I'm hearing some things that, in my opinion, that were kind of disrespectful. Now, Rubio's speech, I thought was interesting. I thought it was a well-crafted speech, right? But I also thought that it was an interesting choice. I mean, that, you know, I thought he got across what his vision was, but I thought it was an interesting choice. You basically say, look, man, in many cases, he was left for dead, and people thought he wasn't really going to make it, right? And I think Iowa gave him new life. I wasn't given a third place speech. He's like, well, I'm in it. And you got to deal with me, right? That's the speech he gave, and that was the choice that he made. And then I'm sorry. What were you going
to
say?
No, we have to run. I would love to get your insight on Ted Cruz, but well, now we'll just have to find out what you think after the New Hampshire primary. How's
that
sound?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sounds good. It's good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you as well. Thank you for staying up pretty late for us.
Yeah, no
problem. I know we made you stay up some more than I promised. Senator Katowski, go to GoFundMe.com and help with Child Serve. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studios West. I'm in L.A. for the week doing some work. We're still developing my sitcom. It's going to be a little bit longer of a timeline. They are not ordering my pilot, Elliot, for the 2016 season, but they continue to keep me working and trying to figure out what that's going to look like for next year.
Well, so, are you following my suggestion, which is to set your sitcom in space?
In space, that has come up in a conversation.
Yes. That would be great. It should be Patty Happens in Space.
Patty Happens in Space. Yeah. I will put that on the table tomorrow.
No, it has to be Patty Happens in Space.
Oh, in space.
There you go.
Craig is a little out of breath. He had to run down. Apparently got a phone call that there was a delivery for the Pretty Late Show. Craig has been in communication.
My God.
has been in communication with a particular company. Tell us a little bit about the delivery you just got, Craig.
Halo Top is the name of a company that makes diet ice cream. The idea behind this ice cream is that you could eat just it. It's got enough protein in it and enough things to sustain you as a complete diet, but all the food would be ice cream. So okay. Halo, they gave us 6 pints. There's a lot of different flavors in here, and I have to eat at least one. I have to do that, and then we save some for you, Patty.
Well, how many days are you supposed to eat just the Halo ice cream in order for the diet to take? I mean,
so 10 is actually the recommendation. We only have 6, so actually none of us could pull it off unless we asked them for more.
So save me one.
Okay, what flavor?
What are my choices?
You've got chocolate mocha chip. You have mint chip. I feel like that's going to be, I don't even know why I have to keep going.
But you can carry on.
Birthday cake, lemon cake, regular chocolate, and strawberry.
I'll take the birthday cake.
Yeah,
you
please set aside the mint chip.
It's fine that Elliot thinks he's going to get the birthday cake because it's in here with me.
Did you wanted the birthday cake?
No, it's fine. I'll give him the birthday cake.
No,
I can take the
other cake
for it. One. There were two cakes, right?
Lemon cake.
I'll do lemon cake.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Interesting. There you go. We're awesome. Yeah. Look at
I'm going to eat my entire thing right now.
What about Esmeralda?
Esmeralda, what do you want?
What do I need?
It's ice cream that's good for you. That you're encouraged to eat it as like a regular diet.
It's a complete diet ice cream.
A complete meal in ice cream.
All right, folks. Okay. Let me tell you this. There is a guy also eating just potatoes, and he's already lost like so many pounds.
Yeah.
If you eat just one thing all the time, of course you're going to lose weight.
Ice cream,
though? Probably going to be very malnourished.
Ice cream.
Just keep that in mind. Well, yeah, think about it. I mean, you'll probably be eating just so much.
How about nachos? What if I just ate nachos?
Yeah. No, you would probably lose weight because you're only, I mean, you're not going to eat.
Okay. Are you a licensed dietitian?
Yeah,
because I'm beginning to wonder.
Yes.
I love
no,
that
see,
theory.
You will probably lose weight, but then you will be very malnourished because you don't have anything else.
The nacho diet.
Nutrient-wise.
Just Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm definitely going to lose weight.
Well, yeah, because how many would you be? Are you going to be eating a whole trough of them?
Wait,
I doubt it.
Esmeralda, don't start adding rules. You said if I eat just one thing, I will definitely lose weight. So let's not say how much now.
I'm just saying all those diets, like the carrot diet or the soup diet. It's like, yeah, you're going to lose weight because all you're eating is just this one thing, but you're going to be sick.
I know that Rich Lenkov is a lawyer, but I bet he has some information about diets.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, I got so distracted by our ice cream. You told me that we were going to have Rich Lenkov on Legal Face Off, the better half of Legal Face Off. The other guy's name like Jason something or another.
Jason
White
somebody.
White side dish. Yeah, so that guy. Joining us on the line is attorney Rich Lenkov to talk to us a little bit about what's going on with Chicago Public Schools and anything else legal. How's it going, Rich?
Good. I'm just trying to figure out what's the one thing that I could eat and lose weight is. I'm thinking, is there like chicken pot pies? Could I just eat chicken pot pies nonstop?
I would be on board with that diet. I would totally be on board with that diet.
See, and to Esmeralda's point, that would be a diet with protein, check, vegetables, check, check. You've got grain because of the crust, right? So where are you going wrong with that? I think that it's a full meal.
Okay, if crust counts, can we do cheesecake? Can we do a cheesecake-only diet?
See? This is all getting very complicated. Yeah, I'm with you, Rich. I think if it was... Now, do you want homemade, or are you going with, like, remember the old Swanson's chicken pot pies we all used to eat? Where it was, like, molten lava after 45 minutes in the oven?
You would poke the fork holes in the top of it so it doesn't explode.
Exactly. Do you remember waiting 45 minutes for something? That would be absurd these days. Yeah.
Yeah. Different world.
Well, that's how you lose the weight, waiting for it.
That's true. Yeah. Everything is too soon, too fast. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with the Chicago Public Schools. What is your take on the recent developments, whether it's the bonds or the governor's efforts to take over the schools and force them into bankruptcy?
The interesting legal question is whether the governor has the right to do that. I mean, I think the simple answer is no. It requires legislation. Although Rauner has certainly been assertive in saying that he can take over if he needs to. Our sources at Legal Faceoff say that that's not possible, that you know it would violate the Constitution of Illinois and requires a new law to be passed. And the Cullerton has come out very strong and said that's dead on arrival. So I don't think he has the legal authority to do that. I think his lawyers are studying right now whether he can do that, but I think right now he won't be able to do that. I think he's just posturing. But it's an interesting legal question. The other interesting legal question for the CPS issue is, you know, the CTU, the teachers union, has come out and said that because CPS has now gone ahead and threatened layoffs, they, you know, Claypool said yesterday that they're going to initiate layoffs right away, that the 120-day period before they could strike is null and void, and they're able to strike right away. So that's another interesting legal situation. I don't think that's clear. The teachers union has said that they are going to file an unfair labor practices complaint, and if they win, that they'll be able to strike right away. But a couple interesting and fairly novel legal issues coming out of the last couple of days.
Yeah, because how long do their contracts? We just had a teacher strike. Was it 2 years ago? And 20, their contracts?
2012.
Yes. It was 2012. Has it been that long already? How long are their contracts signed for then? Because this was what happened in the 80s, late 70s and going into the 80s to the Daley administration, where you would have these strikes every couple of years. And it seems like we're headed towards a trend in the same direction. That seem right?
Looks like it. I mean, you know, we had, you know, a couple of decades of labor peace between the teachers and CPS, but, you know, a combination of leadership and lots of changes at the top of CPS. You know, there's been, five different CEOs over the last 6 years,
right.
I think has led to the current, you know, discord.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially as we continue to be financially strapped in the state of Illinois. This is part of what, you know, Rauner has established as his plan is to sort of circumvent labor rights. And now, how familiar are you with the kinds of plan he has for the turnaround agenda? Have you been following that and his demands for workman's comp and things like that?
Oh, I have. Yeah, very closely. You know, the problem, obviously, is that he came in with some different ideas, I think some good ideas with regards to workers' comp reform, with regards to tort reform, other issues. But, you know, this is Illinois. It's a obviously very heavily democratically controlled legislature. So he doesn't have the capital to enforce a lot of these issues. I mean, workers' comp reform, you mentioned, it's a no-brainer. I mean, the workers' comp system was reformed in 2011, the goal was to make the state a lot more friendly for businesses like Caterpillar, who, you know, wrote a very public letter. The CEO of Caterpillar wrote a letter in 2010 saying basically, unless you fix these issues, we're moving. Lots of companies have moved to Indiana. So the, you know, Springfield enacted some changes to workers' comp in 2011. They haven't really achieved the goals that they set out to. It's still, you know, we still have like the second or third most expensive workers' compensation system in the country. So Rauner came in and said, you know, we're going to make these cuts, but nothing's happened yet mostly because of the budget impasse, but also because, you know, the legislature doesn't want that to happen.
How much is it that that legislation fell short, and how of the workman's comp situation, and how much of it is not the appropriate application of that legislation? Do you have any handle on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the legislation, the reform package that was enacted, signed into law by former Governor Quinn, in 2011, had a lot of good things in it. I mean, for example, it set a medical fee schedule. Basically, it said there's a limit to what doctors could charge for workers' comp, and that was a 30% reduction for what we compared to what we had before. But still today, even after that reduction, we have the second most expensive medical fee schedule in the country. So, you know, doctors ended up just sort of getting around a lot of those changes.
Right. If we have more legislation, would that include enforcing or not allowing doctors to get around it? Because if it's coming from that end of it, what difference does the legislation make?
You know, again, that's a good question. More legislation won't necessarily fix the problem in the workers' comp system, especially. You know, that's an area I practice in. It's very much an institutionalized sort of old boys network, and it has to really work its way through the courts. I mean, a lot of the arbitrators who hear these cases, you know, good arbitrators, fair arbitrators, but, you know, the system is so ingrained to the way things used to be, plus the plaintiff's bar. You know, you talk about the teachers' union being strong. The plaintiff's bar in Illinois is incredibly strong, and they are against many of these changes. So, you know, unfortunately, this kind of radical change for workers' compensation can take years to really be effectuated.
Right. So that's what I'm saying is changing the legislation won't bring about the sort of financial rewards I think people are expecting, considering that that was what was expected of the 2011. It seems to be more in the application and practices of enforcing the legislation rather than making all new stuff. That's just my interpretation. I'm just winging it. We're talking to Rich Lenkoff, who is an attorney and the better half of Legal Faceoff. Can you hang out? We have another topic. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this rally that was supposed to take place over the weekend, but I want to get your thoughts on these. There's a group that supports rape rights for men. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Would you mind talking to us a little bit about that when we come back?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
All right, excellent. We're talking to attorney Rich Lenkoff. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and joining us live in the Allstate Showcase studio is Elliot Serrano, trying to chip away at some overly frozen ice cream that is supposed to be good and healthy for you, and a diet, apparently. Rich Lenkoff, the attorney who is the better half of Legal Faceoff with Jason What's-His-Face. I'm sorry, Whiteside. Rich, have you had a chance to see this piece in DNA Info and other places about a rally that was supposed to take place this weekend for rape rights?
I did. It was a pretty baffling story to me. I don't quite understand, this whole movement. It's bizarre. But yeah, I saw it. Glad it was canceled.
Well, it's weird that it even exists. I was listening to Bill and Wendy's show, and people were texting and convinced that it was a hoax. No one would believe that this would happen. There was actually a restaurant owner in the suburbs who found out that his parking lot was supposed to be used as a meeting place for one of the rally sites. And obviously he called the police. I mean, if somebody owns a property that happens to have a parking lot, people can't just organize a rally there, can they?
No, I mean, it's private property. You could, kick them out, and sounds like that's what this restaurant owner did. Obviously there's freedom of association, there's freedom of speech, but like any other freedom, those things are subject to certain rights, or certain limitations, I should say. You can't just go onto private property and, especially for something as wacky as this.
Well, when you say freedom of speech, does that cover inciting violence? Because when you say you should be right, so I mean that seems to already from the get-go, this group wouldn't be protected by First Amendment rights.
Yeah, there's no judge, I think, no reasonable judge on this planet that would allow this kind of activity. I mean, there is freedom of speech; you're allowed to believe in what you want, but. Something inciting violence, something inciting breaking the law. There are limitations to free speech, and I don't think any judge would uphold this group's right to assemble or especially on private property. So I think I don't think they have much of a leg to stand on legally.
Well, what if it was a case? I'm sorry. What if it was a case where? Let's say the property owner allowed it and they were, it was like, because a lot of these quote unquote rallies or get togethers were supposed to be in private, and you had to know like a certain code word on how to get there. And there were different, I guess there's a protocol on just even being able to make it to this particular sort of rally. There's even a rumor going around right now that the whole thing, these things are still occurring, but that there's all this, there was all this backlash on social media, so they made it seem like they were going to cancel the whole thing to appease folks. But it's still happening. You just need to know how to get there.
Yeah, listen, again, the right to free speech, free assembly, no matter how hateful or vile or, unsavory the speech is protected by the Constitution. That's clear. But that right is not limitless. It's not, it doesn't include the right to, you know, inflict physical violence, physical harm on someone. So, you know, you can't hold a rally on private or public property to, you know, burn down minorities' homes, for example. You know, that's free speech, but it's not tolerable. In a civilized society, there are rights to free speech. You know, we allow freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, but to limits. If you are rallying people to advocate for rape, that's something that, you know, is not going to be allowed generally.
I was curious if somebody in this group, this organization that advocates for, and it's even the word sounds so strange to me, rape rights. If one of these guys attacks a woman and, you know, as part of the investigation, they discover that he was a part of this group, can that group also find themselves in a legal battle for encouraging that attack?
Yeah, I mean, you know, interesting question, something you don't see very frequently. Certainly civilly, there would be some liability. You know, I think the victim would go after that group civilly, especially if there was, you know, a group behind it and some money behind it. I think civilly, there would be some liability. Criminally, sure, I think that a prosecutor would look at this group and say, you know, not only is this individual guilty of something, but there's a conspiracy among the leadership of this group. And yeah, I certainly think that a prosecutor would have a pretty good shot in front of a jury of going after that kind of group, especially when they've been, you know, especially when they have, you know, shown their intentions all over the internet. There's no, you know, from some of what I've read, and some of the opinions by this, the leader, Roosh V, whatever his name is, you know, he has described not only on the internet, but in books about, you know, things that he wants to do. So I think it would be a fairly easy case.
I'm curious, I mean, outside of the area of congregating in person, there's a lot, you know, you hear it reported a lot, especially online. You have women who are harassed pretty repeatedly by these types of, you know, they're MRAs who have, you know, you can term it as hate speech, but they get into a lot of threats. You know, it's not uncommon that you have a women online who receive death threats, rape threats. And yet they feel like social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook aren't very responsive to their complaints or having that sort of behavior curtailed. Like, what are really the legal protections that are in place for folks who find themselves victims of that?
Well, you mean,
I'm a woman. I'm receiving rape threats online from people, and it just seems to be very difficult to get the Twitter platform to acknowledge that and to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not sure how difficult it is. I've certainly seen examples of Twitter removing those kind of posts.
Right.
You know, there's some examples where they have not agreed to do so, and, you know, victims have got a court order forcing them to do that. You know, Twitter obviously wants to protect free speech, but they're also very aware that their platform, you know, is open to, you know, scrutiny and open to debate. So I don't think they allow, if they're aware of it, you know, it doesn't behoove them to allow this kind of speech. But yeah, sometimes it is difficult, but Twitter certainly has policies, as do all social media platforms, that prohibits some, you know, certain hateful speech or ones that involve criminal activity.
Wow, so much to talk about. Thank you so much for your insight tonight. And everyone can find Legal Face Off with Rich Lankov and Jason What's-His-Face on WGNplus.com. Jason Whiteside. At some point, I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I, Rich?
Don't worry, he's fast asleep. He's getting his usual, like, 14 hours of sleep.
Thank you. Well, that'll teach him. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez at 720 WGN.
Your love is better than and ice cream. Everyone here knows how to fight.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles, where I'm doing a little bit of work. And back home in our Showcase Studios, Allstate Showcase Studios in the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue, everyone seems to be enjoying some ice cream that maybe softened up a little bit. It was delivered tonight. Craig was alerted to a delivery from Halo, which is a diet ice cream. I guess the claims are that you can eat this every day as your only meal, as your only sustenance, and lose weight. Is that correct, Craig?
Yeah, and you won't die. That's the other part. No. Like, you'll be fine-ish, I'm assuming. I mean, it's funny. This ice cream was actually, it's Halo Top that makes it, but it's a GQ article where a writer decided to eat just this for 10 days. They delivered 50 pints of ice cream to him, and he had 5 a day. So that's less than
Wait, 5 pints a day?
Yeah, it's only 280 or 260 calories or 240 calories, depending on which one you consume. So you'd have to eat 4 or 5 of these to even get up to close to 1,500 calories. And,
okay.
You know, so yeah, he had 5 a day for 10 days, and he lost 9.5 pounds. He lost like 1.5 inches on his waist. Yeah, he seemed to really enjoy it, too.
And if you're looking, if I'm looking at the pint I have here, if it's averages the same amount of protein, he took in about 30 grams of protein each day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can
see. What's recommended?
He gained it. He gained some muscle mass, he said. I don't know if he was working out, but yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is how many calories was he consuming before he started eating ice cream? Because to Esmeralda's point, that if all you eat is one thing, because then you can't. There's only so much you can eat of one thing, and you're eating that exclusively and not consuming nutrients in other ways. I'm just curious.
Esmeralda has obviously never seen me eat nachos. I mean, there's just, you can eat a lot of nachos.
I want to go out on the show though and say that I'd do this. I would for sure do this if they would send
me
50. Yeah,
50 pints.
I can't eat this much ice cream every 5.
Five a day.
I could not eat 5 of these every day.
There's 3 meal pints and then 2 snack pints that you can have throughout.
No, yeah. That's too much.
Ice cream for breakfast, Esmeralda.
Yeah, think about that.
That's fine. I mean, I'm an adult. I could do that whenever I want to, but I don't know if I'd want to eat 5 of these. It just seems.
But you vary the flavors. You have a different flavor with each meal.
Yeah.
Would you get sick? That's a lot of cream.
He said he had a huge canker sore. That was the biggest problem he said he had. And he also had a cold from eating ice cream.
It only 2 grams of fat per serving.
Right. And there's 3 servings in a container. So just 6 grams of fat in this thing.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing. It tastes great
too,
by the way.
There's more fat from eating a hamster.
We should mention though, I think you guys have all tried yours, that it does taste. The birthday cake tastes excellent. Adam loves his. He's eating a strawberry over here.
This chocolate's good. I've been gumming it.
Yeah, it's still pretty frozen.
You've been gumming it.
I went teeth in. I went teeth straight into the carton because I really wanted this.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm not going to say.
No, say it.
No, because I think of is Nick's straight out of context. I'm sucking on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got this texture to it, this very light texture. So
It is. I mean, it's not bad. But I couldn't eat 5 of these every day.
I'll do it.
But then I don't have that big of a sweet tooth.
Yeah, I do.
What if there was like a bacon flavor one?
If it was ice cream.
Well, you got to try it just the right. I mean, people have chocolate covered bacon.
No, I'll just take bacon.
This is smart too. That gets some breakfast flavors in there. Get some lunch flavors. So you can have your regular meals.
There was savory ice cream. I would do it.
I think you're right about that. By the way, the writer from GQ who did live off nothing but ice cream for 10 days, 50 pints of ice cream, said that one of the problems is logistically eating only ice cream turns out to be rather annoying. He had to carry around a freezer pack cooler with 3 pints to work where they sat and slowly melted all day. He ate each flavor, mint, chip, strawberry, and vanilla, and then he basically by the time he got to the last one of the day, it was a milkshake. And also, he found himself shivering at his desk because if you just eat ice cream all day, you're going to just you're chilling yourself internally.
And actually, our engineer Adam mentioned to me that if I try to do this, I probably have to buy a second freezer.
Probably.
Did anyone ever tell the GQ writer about the mini fridge? Even I have a mini fridge.
Mini fridges don't freeze stuff. Are you kidding?
No, they do, but they're very tiny.
No, the little tiny compartment on top freezes nothing. It always melts.
Speaking of which, can we admit to something on this show that the entire station should know about as far as working on the first floor? We had guests one night who needed ice for a beverage, and I tried saving the ice in the mini fridge on the first floor, and where it has been wedged ever since. It's just a solid brick of ice in that, and there's nothing but it.
The one up here, too, it's kind of an enclosure of ice.
Yeah,
it's like an ice cave.
I need to get a ice chipper or like an ice pick and just break that thing up and clear it out.
Also, can I say about the guy losing the weight?
Uh-huh.
Guys lose weight much easier. So there's that too.
Interesting, because we hoard fat.
Right.
Not by choice.
I beg to differ on that.
No, I was talking. So Vic Vaughn, who works in the mornings here, he said that he gave up eating not a lot of meat. He stopped eating so much meat. And he said, he's like, and I lost 10 pounds in like 2 weeks. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Just because you cut back on meat?
I stopped drinking alcohol for 3 months, but a few years ago, 4 years ago, and nothing. I mean, because people always say, like, when they stop drinking, they lose all this weight. And I was like, all right, I'm going to, you know, commit to not drinking. I'm going to work out. 3 months later, I'm like, that's it. I need a beer.
Well, but see, there was your problem. It was the beer.
Beer or whatever
the
was.
Beer. Yeah, I once when I give up beer, my weight drops.
Yeah, because you're a dude, and for some reason, God, I don't know what it is.
Like you said,
we hold on to fat.
I've never given up anything, so I don't know what any of that's like. You guys are talking about. I've never.
But you're
literally
like a rail
never,
anyway.
No,
Craig.
I'm not. I'm getting fatter. I'm the fattest Craig that's ever existed.
Of all the Craigs you've known,
of all the Craigs that have ever existed on this planet, this is the biggest Craig Collins that's ever existed.
You've already gained a half inch in diameter.
I have. I know. Well, I can't wait for 10 days ice cream though. This is going to be amazing.
Wait a minute. So when you say you're fatter, does that mean you just have a little paunch?
Yes, I do.
Are you one of those guys?
Yes, I have a belly. That's what my wife tells me all the time. I got a little belly. It's lovable.
That's adorable.
No, it's not. It's the worst.
No, it's not adorable. Trust me.
See?
I've got one. It's not adorable.
Yeah, but
he's like a tiny little guy, so it probably looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like you're just
Patty,
hoarding a watermelon.
Am I getting fun of right now? A tiny little guy with a watermelon. That's not.
No, I think they're
tall,
working
thin
with
guy.
What you're.
With a watermelon working, belly.
They're working off your own self-deprecating humor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. That's fine. I'm storing a watermelon at all times. That's lovely.
And now it'll be a watermelon of ice cream.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Birthday
fill it up some
cake
other way.
Specifically. I want mostly birthday cake.
I'm currently working on my DiCaprio dad bod.
Dad bod.
I've got the DiCaprio dad bod going right now.
Everyone was silent after that. Because...
But that's like the hot thing right now, isn't it?
Is
dad
it really?
Bods?
It is.
Yeah,
it's really sad. It's really not fair. Men, we have it a lot better than you guys have it. For dad bod to be a cool thing, that's just completely unfair. In this world,
I don't believe it's hot though. I don't.
No,
I don't
it is. What are you talking about? Why do you think you just called it the Leonardo DiCaprio dad bod?
I didn't mean
Which
it as
pudgy.
Good either. I'm kind of pudgy. I'm trying to work my way down to Romeo and Juliet DiCaprio.
Really? Well, Leo with
like
his
17.
Dad bod. Yeah. Leo with his dad bod right now is with every supermodel ever. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. It's because he's an actor. It's just like Steven Tyler. If he was pumping gas, no one would be looking at him.
This is a good point. No, we would. We'd be like, what is wrong with that guy?
Wait, so Esmeralda likes it? Patty, you like the dad bod or no?
I mean, I don't hate it.
No, I don't. I'm not drawn to it. I'm not disgusted by it either.
Okay.
It's not.
Yeah.
I'm definitely an abs and shoulders kind of gal. I like the toned look.
I mean, yeah. If I have a choice, if there's one or the other, I'm like, I'm gonna go with some abs.
And that's my whole point. Thank you.
Well, it's with girls too. You're not gonna like want if there is a choice between like, hey, and then you're kind of paunchy girl.
Uh-huh,
and then versus even like a shapely girl, you go with the shapely one.
I don't know. I like something I can hold on to.
Okay, more after this on Pretty Late with Patty Baskett, 720 WGN. Hold on to everything. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase. K-Studio West in Los Angeles. I'm sorry, I'm watching a video that's making me tear up a little bit. After the 1 a.m. news, we'll talk about this wonderful video you can find on WGNradio.com, and we'll actually ask our listeners if they can. Well, you know what? You've got a chance now. If you can figure out what video I'm talking about, after the news, we'll give away a Lou Malnati's pizza as part of a prize if you have an answer to the question we will pose after 1 a.m. I am I'm watching Elliot Serrano eat ice cream, which is strange because we're Skyping. I am watching my co-host, our guest co-host, Sidecar, in the studio. You're eating the, you got the lemon cake? Which one did you end up
the
with?
The lemon cake, because Craig wanted the birthday cake.
The birthday cake. And you are about a third of the way through. And you guys couldn't have divvied it up so that you could have sampled each one. You were sticking with each pint.
Yeah, people are asking me on social media, what is it like? And it's pretty good. And then, and some are going, wow, I really wanted to know what that birthday cake was like.
That is excellent.
How's the birthday?
The birthday cake is lovely. I don't
want to
share
any
of it.
So is it like chocolate icing birthday
no,
cake?
It's a vanilla. It's a vanilla ice cream with the little confetti things in there.
Okay. And can
it
sounds good.
It's delicious. And I'm almost done, actually. So.
Wow. We didn't realize this was a race. Elliot looks confused by his only third
I didn't
third
do it on purpose.
Pint.
Everyone else let it defrost, and I just ate it with my teeth.
Now, you kind of have to let it defrost. The pint says to let it sit for a little bit. So
I did not read that.
And then the spoon that I have is fairly deep. So
it's a soup spoon?
It's a soup spoon. And I'm like, wow. Once I get the ice cream in the spoon, it's kind of a challenge getting it out of the spoon.
Yes, it is.
I have maybe gotten just a quarter of an inch in. How are you guys? Jeez.
How far has Adam Phillips gotten on his...
he's halfway. He's proud of himself. Yeah.
All right. It's all softened up.
And he's
yes.
not complaining about the soup spoon.
I was scared to break it.
Well, according to reviews, Halo ice cream does freeze a little hard, which is why they recommend you let it sit a little bit. Maybe put it in front of a heater. Maybe put it in the microwave for about 10 seconds. See if that helps out a little bit. Run your spoon under hot water, but that you have a plastic spoon, so it wouldn't run. Have you ever done that for ice cream? Warm up your spoon? So that's the impatient. Can you tell I have all these solutions for softening ice cream, which means I am an impatient consumer of ice cream. I need to eat this now.
I know you yes. do it to get a nice scoop.
Right. Yeah. Did you also work at an ice cream shop at some point, Patty? Because they do that all the time at the ice cream shops, right?
I did, but I worked a soft serve machine. So I had the the swirl cone. You could get vanilla or chocolate or both, the blended.
True or false that when they were working on the Apollo mission to send men to the moon, they discovered soft serve ice cream?
Ooh.
I feel like if it's false, that was a silly question.
I thought they did like that hydrogenated, like the hard ice cream, like the packets of ice cream.
Yeah, but then,
like,
you know.
All the space balls, or what are they called? The future of ice cream. Dots.
The future. Dots. Dips
space
or dots.
Dippin' dots.
It's Dippin'
dots. The ice cream of the future.
Why isn't it called space balls?
Because the movie probably would sue them.
Oh, that's true.
Which, by the way, isn't Mel Brooks doing a sequel to Spaceballs?
Yes.
Oh my God, he is.
Yes, the quest for money, Spaceballs 2.
Yeah. The quest for money is that what it's actually called?
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So there will be a Spaceballs 2 because everybody, meaning nobody, demanded it.
Yeah, the movie no one was waiting for.
Nobody.
I've never sat through the entire first version. I've never sat through the entire thing.
I get into so much trouble when I tell my geeky friends that I did not like Spaceballs.
What satirical
I'm now confused.
Take?
Wait, yes. I'm the only one on the show that likes Spaceballs?
I liked it when it was done in Mad Magazine, when Mad Magazine did all the same jokes and actually did them better.
Ooh.
Oh, throwing down.
I like it. Go for it, Elliot.
I'm just saying. So even Cracked Magazine, which is now a exclusively online publication, did a better job. So
wow.
I don't know.
What was so? Well, Craig, how old were you when you saw Spaceballs? Maybe that.
13.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably Elliot. You were probably around the same age. Yes.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I'm really. I haven't. I'm trying to even remember the last time I thought a Mel Brooks movie was funny.
No, that's kind of sad.
You know, history of the world.
Why is that? Don't you have to be sad. We've had this conversation, Craig, just because we don't like something
right.
doesn't
yeah, no, I'm
say
not,
anything
I'm not
about
ridiculing
your taste.
Him. It's just, it's, I don't know. Mel Brooks has shined a light on a lot of funny things for me. So,
I like Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles is an amazing movie.
You couldn't make Blazing Saddles today. Not in today's...
No, you could not. No, there's a lot of... Yeah.
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 It's not a very un-PC humor in it.
It would be as welcome as a rape rights rally.
Well, if you wanted to see it, you'd have to get in secretly and know the password.
Yes. Is this the pet shop? What a weird password, by the way, for that rally.
Have to answer that question with, yes, it's right over here.
Right.
Well, I also like that it was public. Their secret thing was public.
Right.
Their password.
It was almost as though, is it me or does it almost seem like it was actually a publicity stunt to let people know that they existed? So they didn't actually have to have the rally, but now there are dudes like searching for them and they can attract more followers that way, more people who agree with them, right? Because then you also lure in the people for whom rape is a fantasy, both men and women. So that's kind of a weird breeding ground too.
Oh, then you had the MRAs who said it was a feminist plot to trap them.
Right, to pull them out of the woodwork.
Pull them out of the woodwork.
Kind of like Trump. So now we know where all the racists and bigots and the misogynists are.
Yep.
It's like we're getting a head count. There's one.
But honestly, those kind of guys, they immediately, they can't hide their
disdain for women.
Exactly. It's the second something ticks them off and they go at you and you're like, okay, well, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Right, which makes them more angry because they feel like which they feel entitled to your attention. I was thinking about this the other day. This is a totally the other end of the spectrum of the expectations that men have of women when they address us and want us to smile for them. Why don't you give us a smile? Because I had seen this quote from Mother Teresa about smiling, how it is a gift. And that's the thing is, if someone smiles at you, you smile back, and that's as easy as the exchange has to be. You cannot demand a smile from somebody. It's such a bizarre thing to me. And then because then it also puts us on the spot of like, what? Or now we're just confused and this is an unfortunate exchange. Take a step back, fix your moment, and just walk away. Never demand someone smile. Have you ever come across that, Elliot, where a dude tells a woman, you look good when you smile. Give us a smile.
Yeah, no, actually, I just ran into that recently, and a friend of mine, she was telling me about one of her coworkers was doing that for her, and the thing was that she even expressed how annoyed she was by him saying that, and he wouldn't let up. He just kept going, come on, smile. You should smile. You look angry, blah, blah, blah. I think women should turn the tables on guys. I think they need to go come up to us on the street and go, why aren't you smiling? And, maybe catcall us from time to time,
I think that there are dudes that would like that or else get aggressive back.
Yeah, that's almost dangerous.
True. Yeah, I think that's
well, how about guys, there should be some guys who should catcall other guys.
See, that's better.
There you go. Yeah. That is better. Yeah.
By the way, two quick text messages from the 847. Laughing so hard tonight. Love, love, love the show. And love Esmeralda. She has a little attitude tonight. Wish for the world.
Tonight?
She has made my night.
Attitude.
Yeah. Esmeralda has
attitude.
I don't know who that was, but just so you know, Esmeralda has attitude every night.
And then from the 219, I ate nothing but Velveeta cheese and shells for a week. Let me tell you, your body will start passing on the whole digestion thing. Might want to consult the clinical nutritionist.
Should have added bacon. Then you wouldn't have had that issue.
Yeah, put a little broccoli in there.
Yeah, put a little roughage. Give the shells something to cling to in your intestines. I really went the wrong way on all of that. By the way, Elliot, Craig, do I need a break before the news? I'm not sure.
Yes, please.
Let's do that, and then we'll talk about riching. We should talk about resting bitch face when we come back after the news. You're listening Pretty Late. More after this. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I'm in Los Angeles, back home in the Tribune Tower. Joining us is Elliot Serrano, and we've got Craig Collins is in the producer's booth. Esmeralda is taking care of all of our information, everything you need to know. Adam Phillips, our engineer tonight. And Elliot, I was following your news feed. You'd posted, thank you for posting photos of the studio so that I can, not only are we Skyping, but I can see as we go along. Because I like seeing your selfies. The rodent selfies are adorable, by the way.
Thank you.
Rat selfies.
Did you see how quickly I got through that ice cream, though?
Are you done with the ice cream?
Yeah, it's gone.
We are everyone back at the station is eating Halo. Is it Halo Top ice cream?
Halo Top.
Which is packed Halo Top with protein, low sugar, and they claim that you can eat it as your only source of nutrition for now. I guess one writer ate it for 10 days, 5 pints a day, and claims they've lost some weight that way. Craig is he strives to embark on same adventure.
Yeah,
you're in.
I'm
well, in Halo Top. The challenge has been hit. Craig, you do realize, Craig, we have to do like before and after photos.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'll be doing before and after photos with Kimberly Reed in the 90-day mind body challenge, by the way.
I don't want to be in photos with you guys. You guys are actually in shape, though. I want to be in my own photos.
I got my pudge. I got pudgy. That didn't sound right. That didn't, I'm pudgy. I don't know what that.
And I've got my dad bod, so, you know.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. But you also posted a link to a piece in the Washington Post. There, you know, we've talked about this maybe once or twice on the show. This meme started a couple of years ago, like 2012, 2013, that caught a celebrity, you know, not smiling, not engaged in the moment, and it was called Resting Bitchy Face, right?
Resting Bitch Face, yes.
Yeah, but I think originally it was resting bitchy face, and then resting bitch face became the easier way to say it. I guess one less syllable. I think I was thinking about this as I read the piece, because now there are researchers who wanted to sort of categorize or find out the source of why people look that way. Are they being judgy? Are they being cranky? And Esmeralda, can you imagine living a life where if you just aren't smiling for a moment, you're considered to be just resting bitch face?
It's really bad. And I've seen people with that face. They just, it's so weird because they just look so angry. And it's like, what is wrong with them? And then you just realize, oh no, that's just how they look.
I have that face. I get that all the time at work. In the office. So people go, Elliot,
but is that
wrong?
You concentrating?
No, I'll just be sitting there to go, Elliot, why are you so angry? I'm not even thinking of anything right now. It's just the way my face looks.
See, because I get that face because I'm concentrating on something. And then I'll turn and look into the cameras because we have all these webcams. And I'll be like, oh, man, I look very angry. And I'm not.
Yeah. Well, and that's also what the world of cameras, social media. Yeah, because you are constantly being broadcast while you're in your office. You know, most people don't have a camera on them to see what they look like every second, and then again, celebrities do. They're constantly in the eye of social media, and so these researchers they use something called the face reader, a tool that is engineered to identify specific expressions, and they have this software where they've used images to. They analyze the image and assign expressions based on 8 basic emotions: happiness, sadness, anger, fear, surprise, disgust, contempt, and neutral. Which, I mean, that's kind of when someone's not smiling and they're just trying to rest for a minute, resting bitch face. I think that's just neutral, right?
Well, I guess what the reason I took interest to it is because the WAPO, Washington Post folks, decided to use a picture of Anna Kendrick. On the carpet, and she was just like looking like herself, and that was supposed to be representative of resting bitch face. Yep. And I was like, seriously, guys, you're kind of face shaming a celebrity on social media, which seems somewhat that seems like bad form, if you ask me.
Well, I think and Kanye would be a better example. I mean, because he does look genuinely kind of pissed, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, I'd use Kanye easily. He's spawned so many memes with his face. Or even like Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is known for having we call it Manning face whenever he's not happy about something that's going on during a game. But why Anna Kendrick of all things? Because I'm gonna tell you, I got my girl Anna's back.
I think, I did a quick search because she's talked about it. And I guess she was on The Late Show with James Corden and she talks about it.
Okay.
And there's in the video, I love that the screenshot is just of her looking real mad.
Well, Anna, I got your back, Anna. I got it.
Yeah. And this goes back to what we were talking about before the news. When she was younger, directors would say, why don't you smile more? You need to smile more. You don't seem like you're very happy. Which, by the way, if someone was doing it to me all the time, it would really make me not want to smile. I'd be like, what? But that's something that is expected from women far more than it's expected from men. And there's a lot of scientific literature on that. So it's not necessarily something that occurs more in women. It's just that we notice it more in women because we expect them or have applied pressure to them to be happy and smiley and get along with everybody. Otherwise, you're a bitch.
Now that's one of those things that I'll acknowledge. It's becoming more and more obvious that that's a standard that's being applied to women that isn't being applied to men. Although on a somewhat similar note, although has anyone seen the picture of Chris Hemsworth from the new Ghostbusters movie, where he's essentially going to be the Annie Potts role?
Oh my God, he's so dreamy with his glasses.
See, there you go. See, now he gets to be objectified for a bit, and maybe in the movie the girls will ask him, "Hey,
aww,
smile."
Really? Because he has never been objectified before? What?
He looks so cute.
See, there you go.
He's adorable.
He's really, really adorable. I think that Melissa McCarthy's wearing my glasses, the black frames with the gold arms on them. Oh, they all look so cute.
There you go. So now we can do a little reverse objectification here. Everyone, let's. I would put the challenge out to Paul Feig. You know, put one line in there where Chris Hemsworth is sitting at his desk, and somebody, one of the girls, goes up to him and goes, "Come on, smile for us." You know,
right? Give us a smile. Why don't you smile more? You look prettier when you smile. You look prettier when you smile, Elliot.
Oh, <Aww. laughs> it brings out my dimples, doesn't it?
It does. It brings out your dimples.
Yeah, so if you go to my Instagram at Elliot Serrano, you can see all my selfies. I try to bring my dimples out. Although no one ever pays attention to me. They always look at the rat.
The rat.
Because it's nice. Doing cute things.
Isn't he? Isn't he like a cute little guy?
I'm not a big rat fan, especially the ones with the red eyes like him. But he's so cute.
Yeah, you get the one that's cleaning his
paws. He's cleaning himself. Like... Actually, confession, I was not a big rat fan myself, but this guy, his name is Nicodemus, and he is currently in the offices at the Anti-Cruelty Society, where he's going to be getting adopted
by
soon.
Invitation. He's not just accidentally, like, you didn't see him, like, running around the
no,
office.
No. He was owned. Oh, he had a sad story. He was surrendered with another rat, and they were they're older rats, but his cage mate died. We found he passed away in the cage, and we felt so bad for Nicodemus. We brought him back to the office to socialize. So he's a really social little guy, and he's actually gotten me wanting to play with him. So, yeah, I take selfies with him. I've done the guinea pig selfies. The guinea pigs, by the way, if you want to visit the guinea pigs that were my guinea pig selfies, you can see them at the Chicago Children's Museum at Navy Pier. They're part of the Pets Unleashed program there.
Oh, cool.
And then I do believe that our friend Nikki, the mixologist for Knife and Tine, will be adopting Nicodemus.
Aw,
that's sweet.
She saw the...
Because she doesn't have a cat anymore.
No, she doesn't have a cat anymore, right. So. Nicodemus gets along with cats. We have the office cat that gets along.
It's not Nicodemus you have to worry about. It's the cat you have to worry about.
This is true, although Nicodemus is kind of big. He's a big boy.
So he ain't playing.
Some cats might go, "Whoa, I don't want any of that." Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a cute little guy.
I had a question because I saw a piece. You know, every once in a while you'll see something on Facebook that someone posts. There was a sad story from another shelter that the people surrendered their older dog in order to adopt a younger dog. Tell us a little bit about the older dogs at the Anti-Cruelty Society, because that's what a great way to take a pet into your home. And, and here's the thing. We always think of like the last years or we're not going to spend much time with them. But I mean, friendship is friendship. Right.
Oh, definitely. I will say that a lot of times when people surrender dogs that are in their senior years, I would say, like 10 years and up, a lot of time that's just due to changes in something that's going on in your life, like a drastic life change where you're unable to keep them.
Right. Maybe the owner has gotten too ill.
Right. It's the whole thing, you know, the old myth that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That is so untrue. I've adopted older dogs for the most part all my life. And if you are looking for a pet to bring into your home, and especially, you know, an older dog that's not going to make as much demand on you as, say, a puppy would or a much younger.
Right.
Like if you're the type of person who likes to be a little more sedentary, kind of like me, which is why I have dad bod. getting an older pet, they can acclimate a lot more easily to your home. And yeah, it's I saw that story about the that was a case where they had to give up the dog, and it was like a 15-year-old dog with some health issues as well. So
yeah,
we ask that, folks, if you're going to consider that too, there are organizations within the city of Chicago that will assist rescues, or even rescues and animal shelters that will perform a humane euthanasia for the animal, especially if you know that the animal is not going to live very long with a chronic health condition, so that way you can at least be present for that part of the animal's passing on. Right. It's a difficult decision, I know, but you know, it's really you want to consider being there for the pet and there at the end.
Right. Oh, but I know it's hard for anybody, but that's a great point to make. And actually, a friend of the show, Charles Turk, adopted an older dog who you recently dog sat
Blue.
For Blue is an older dog.
He's yeah. become like my new favorite.
Yeah, he's a sweet pooch. Very sweet.
He likes cuddling. He likes spooning. Big, mastiff breed dog who loves a spoon. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's a good dog, and you're a good man for taking care of our pooches when we need you the most. We're hanging out with Elliot. And you know what? We're going to find out after this. You have something coming up that you just found out. You are going to be doing a panel at one of your favorite events, I believe.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. More with Elliot and our show, Pretty Late with Patty Baska, 720 WGN. Thank you for staying up pretty late with us. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studios West, back in Chicago in the Tribune Tower in our Allstate Showcase Studios on the 7th floor. We have Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon, Adam Phillips, and Elliot Serrano, who today announced that he will be on the panel at what and why and where?
It's the Jeremy Shada Spotlight, Saturday at C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, the weekend of March 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cool.
Saturday evening is Jeremy Shada, for folks who might not know, is the voice of Finn, the character in Adventure Time, the cartoon Adventure Time.
Excellent.
So I'll be moderating his panel at C2E2. Among other things that will be going on that weekend. So it should be fun. C2E2 is a great show. lots of things that you can do. It's a great local show where you can see folks from television, comics, and movies and not have to make a trip to New York or San Diego.
There you go. Very fun. I'm supposed to be participating. I don't know that I will be able to because I have a live performance in Port Washington, Wisconsin, scheduled for the same time. And I don't think that they would be thrilled that I was like, I just want to stay home and do the C2E2 thing, which I really do kind of want to do that.
What if they ask you to do the Supergirl panel?
Well, if here's the thing, I didn't realize that C2E2 was going so late into the evening. I thought like everything was done like at 5 or 6. But I think the geek parenting is at 6:30 to 7:30, which I would love to be.
I think there will be boxes of wine at the geek parenting.
Yeah, I don't think that I have an obligation to a performance that I previously said. Oh. By the way, Craig, you know what? I changed my mind. Let's go ahead and address this you've been challenged.
Okay. No, you know what? Yeah, actually, can I go ahead? Because I listened to their response to our feud podcast.
Yes.
And I just have one thing to say. I think it was all in good fun. I thought we were like kind of kidding around. So, you know what? Let's go ahead and do what they're asking us to do on the Nick D Show. Let's announce a retraction. We are feud. With the
Nick
D
Show. I was responding to why would I like Friends? And I like Friends because I find those characters
right.
more appealing.
The podcast was titled the podcast on our website that said we weren't a feud was titled in sarcasm. That was supposed to be sarcastic. And then the actual audio was also kind of silly with slicing what he had said about my podcast and then what we had said in response to what he said. It was kind of and actually the Nick D Show has feuded before. They feuded with the Brian Noonan Show back in the day.
Yeah, I get the feeling that they're not taking this feud
as lightly as they took that one. No, for some reason it seems like we might have pushed a wrong button here, but
we tripped a wire.
Right.
Who knew we could
retract,
trip a wire?
We apologize. White flag is up.
We apologize.
Yeah. I apologize. We are no longer in the feud that we were pretending to be in.
Well, can I announce my feud?
Yes, please.
Since you're taking your feud, I am actually feuding with Sam Panionovich.
Oh, excellent. What are you feuding with Sam Panionovich about?
We're just feuding.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll find most handsome guy at WGN.
Are you announcing that now for the first time?
For the first time.
Have you notified Sam Panionovich?
No.
You must
why
notify
would I do
him
that?
First.
That would make sense.
You have to notify him first.
Do I have to?
I just am amused that anybody would get emotionally emotionally charged by a radio feud like that.
Well,
it's WGN radio.
It was announced several times in their most recent response that they are not feuding with you or the show.
Okay. Right.
But they didn't necessarily say any other people. They're not feuding specifically with you or the show. So you're okay, Patty. Yeah, you're good.
Are they feuding with the temporary sidecar guy?
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. That could be. I have to say, I'm too tired to feud. I don't even know what it takes. Like,
well,
that sounds so very...
Yeah,
yes.
In reality, but the podcast title was kind of just a silly joke. It's not actually a feud, of course.
You're okay, Craig.
Thank you, Patty.
You were joshing.
Yeah, I was trying to get clicks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of feuds, also feuds, I'm going to be feuding at...
okay, please, are you notifying the other side of the feud?
They know about this one.
Okay, good.
They know about this one.
Is this Hatfield and McCoy this type of feuding, or is this...
Yeah, no, actually, if anyone wants to see my pro wrestling debut...
Yes.
My pro wrestling debut...
What? You're wrestling?
Yeah, yeah. It will be at the Benefit for Thailand volunteer work. It's a fundraiser to help a young woman who is going to Thailand to help the elephants there at the VFW and Summit on Saturday, February 27th at 6 p.m. I will be in the main event.
That sounds great.
The main event, also attended by Rich Coes, who we know as Svengoolie.
Yes.
But I'm calling out...
Sam Panionovich.
Sam Panionovich. I will tag team. He can find a partner.
Okay.
If he can find anybody at WGN who will partner with him, because from what I understand, nobody likes Sam.
I would love to feud on Sam's team.
Dang.
Nobody likes
that's
him.
That's not nice at all. I would love to. I'll get in on this.
You want in on that? You want to be my tag team partner? You want to be his
apparently.
Tag team partner?
I'm the feud master at
the
radio.
Okay.
So wait, is your partner Rich Coes?
No, Rich is going to be he's going to be my manager because our gimmick is that during the match he interferes and then instead of hitting you with a chair, I hit you with a rubber chicken.
Now will you be wearing an outfit?
Yeah, excuse me.
I kind of want to go to this.
It's going
to
be the feud to end all feuds.
When is it?
February 27th.
Patty, can you do this?
February 27th, I am in town. Yeah. Oh, you mean to wrestle?
Yes.
Oh, that's not happening.
Okay.
At the VFW in Summit.
You could wear a cape.
I would like
Pretty Late
to be part of a fight. Yeah. Pretty Late needs to actually get in on a fight now.
I don't need pictures of me rolling around on the ground with neither a woman or a man, by the way. I don't need that to be part of my Instagram account. I'm scrolling through. I googled top feuds in history, and the Pretty Late Show and Nick D are not on the list.
Wow,
Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton are in fact on the list, as are Al Capone and Bugs Moran and Stalin and Trotsky. So we don't even crack.
Oh,
the,
and one last thing too, in response to the stuff that they'd said, I do love Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I do not dislike Seinfeld just because the people are jerks. I have other reasons that I think Friends is a better show, but I don't dislike Seinfeld at all, actually. I think it's a really funny show.
I didn't like them enough to hang in there to watch
there
most
of the
episodes. There
you go. That was you.
On Seinfeld, I mean. That was me. Yeah. That's me.
I think we got to take a break.
I don't.
I'm glad you responded.
More after this on 720 WGN. It's Pretty Late. More after this. Thank you for staying up pretty late with us. I don't know what accent I'm doing right there, Craig. I just slipped into something.
That's nice.
Because I'm feeling relaxed. It's the last half hour of the show.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just kind of kick back a little bit. And you told me we have a listener who's called in to talk about Friends and Seinfeld.
Yes, real quick before we go to our answer for the contest you threw out there, we have Billy who wants to mention something about Friends and Seinfeld.
Excellent. Love to hear from you. Billy, what's up?
Hi. Love your show. I watch both shows. Friends was always diverse, such different, interesting characters whose life was always evolving. On the other hand, Seinfeld was always the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were stuck.
I couldn't stand Jason Alexander, probably because of Pretty Women.
But he was always dating prettier women. He was always over his skis.
Well, that too.
Oh, he tries to rape Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yes, I agree, because they basically Seinfeld, the episodes that I watched, they always found reasons not to like somebody and get out of relationships, and people seem disposable on that show.
Right. The only one that I thought was funny was Can You Spare a Square, the tissue
with Jamie Gertz in the next stall.
Right.
That was Jamie Gertz, then, who wouldn't give her a spare square.
Exactly. And the other one was what was Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character name? Elaine. Her dance.
Elaine? She can't dance, right? She's got that sort of... Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to add my little sense.
I agree. That's a good point, Billy. Thank you so much for commenting on that. I agree. And by the way, Craig, I took a poll in the living room. I was talking to... Mark DiCarlo, who actually, by the way, appeared on an episode of Seinfeld.
Oh, nice.
And his wife, Yenny, and a friend of theirs, Christina. All three of the women preferred Friends to Seinfeld. Mark DiCarlo wrinkled his nose up at me for not being a bigger fan of Seinfeld's. And I, you know, I laid out
my
case.
That'll happen. Some Seinfeld fans will get upset.
Just wrinkled his nose.
They'll get upset at the premise of the question itself.
Yep. Hey, Craig, by any chance, do we have audio from that video of one of the Blackhawks players surprising a child in the suburbs?
I will get that pulled up.
I didn't mean to surprise you with that, but we have a listener on the line.
Yet. We got Socorro.
Socorro, how do I pronounce your name? Am I saying it correctly, Socorro?
Socorro. I'm Mexican.
Socorro. Hi, Socorro. How are you doing? That's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Which Blackhawk surprised a young boy earlier?
It's Corey Crawford.
It was Corey. Have you watched the video?
I did.
I made it halfway through and I just started crying. There's a young boy who was born with a disability that makes it hard for him to use his legs and arms. He's a huge Blackhawks fan, and he's also going to be hard to babysit for because, you know, the babysitter has to put on orthopedic braces on for him and playing, you know, she has to have other considerations.
Here,
so
Patty,
Corey
we can throw to
Crawford,
a little bit of the audio if you'd like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Emily. She babysits a boy named Ben. They each share a huge love of the Blackhawks. But babysitting Ben has its challenges. He was born with a condition that makes it very difficult to use his arms and legs. Emily's goal is to have Ben meet one of his favorite Blackhawks players. Well, today, I've got a surprise for both of them.
I don't think they're here. Hey,
hi.
Emily.
How are you?
I'm Corey.
Yeah, you are. Nice to meet you.
Is Ben home? I'm here to help you babysit. Hey, Ben. How's it going, buddy?
Corey? Is that you?
That's me.
Where's your pants?
Oh my
I just
God.
Love.
That was so emotional. That was so cute. He expects Corey to walk around with his pads wherever he goes.
He was looking for us, yeah. His shin guards and everything. I love that. And later on, Andrew Shaw and TiVo Teravanian show up and they make mac and cheese Corey makes mac and cheese for everybody. And then Corey reads up. I'm sorry, I'm going to start crying. It's very sweet. So congratulations, Socorro. You have won a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Enjoy your pizza, whatever you decide to order. And everybody can go to loumalnati's.com to find out more about the over 40 locations in the Chicagoland area. Who's your favorite Blackhawks, Cora?
I don't know. It's really, really, really difficult. I love them all. But I think, you know who I really, really am? I think I really love is Panarin.
Panarin.
He is so cute.
I have to say, Corey Crawford's gone up way high in my book. So it was just a sweet video. And good to see these guys getting out there.
Corey
is so cool.
It's so cute. He is so handsome. But,
he
I love
a great player.
And I love to watch him play.
Yeah, I agree. This was a really a great thing to do. You know, I think it's inspiring, not just as somebody who cares about kids, but kids with disabilities and getting into the community. I mean, this is what the Blackhawks are really great at, is being so approachable, so authentically wonderful. And we're so proud to have him with the Blackhawks. Thank you so much, Socorro. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Craig, I did. I got a little choked up there listening to that video again and reading about it. It's just it's very, very cool. Because, you know, when Declan was younger, Brian Campbell actually had a fundraiser for Declan's school. To help build a brand new playground. He also raised money for Autism Speaks and was not only able to raise enough to give to both organizations, they rebuilt the entire playground at Beard Elementary, and that was thanks to the Blackhawks, in particular Brian Campbell, bringing everybody together for various functions, including a blackjack game at a casino in Indiana. And so this is what the Blackhawks are, you know, as great as they are on the ice, they're just a pleasure to work with off the ice as well, and we thank the organization for everything they do for the community. I keep meaning to send Brian Campbell. I know he's I don't know if he's still playing in Florida this year, but I wanted to send him pictures so that he always can keep in touch with what he accomplished and how much he gave to the northwest side of Chicago, to kids with autism, and also to Autism Speaks. I'm going to go ahead and blow my nose. More after this, I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
I don't know. This is the end of the show.
Oh, I danced that time. I've danced one of the few times I've gotten to dance because I'm Skyping with Elliot Serrano back in the Allstate Showcase Studios in Chicago. This has to be some folks are they get disappointed when we don't have the What We Meant to Get To song broadcasting, you know, the video of our silly dance. Craig, I've given you some respite from the vigorous dancing that you do as part of our What We Meant to Get To.
And it is appreciated.
Yeah, but I would start working out again if I were you, because people really love those videos. I think some people they have their favorites. Mine is, I'm not sure if it's the dolphin. I mean, the elevator was my favorite for a long time, but the dolphin has got to be one of my favorites, and that's not easy to do either. I have to imagine.
Yeah, no, the dolphin is really tricky. It's there's a lot of movement involved. You've got to really get the whole
Elliot's
body
looking in. Like he wants to see an example of it, I believe.
Now, I can imagine with a dolphin. I'm imagining that you're doing like you're breaching the water and flipping in the air.
yes, that's exactly what it is.
Do you also squeal? Like,
oh.
There you go.
Like that?
I typically don't make any noises because I'm in the other side of that glass box, but I'll go ahead and make them from now on.
All
right. There you go. Fair enough.
Do it to the tune of
I'll find my inner dolphin.
It's funny, this studio has webcams, but they're all like turned toward the wall.
Yeah, people don't like that it's in there.
They don't like them?
A lot of people try to avoid them. By the way, we got a few text messages we didn't get to. We could throw some of those in there.
Yes, please.
From the 312, you people realize you're all basically just eating frozen and Ensure, don't you? Don't go on a frozen and Ensure diet, Craig, at least not until you're 85 years old.
Ooh, I wonder if you can compare the content. So, like, maybe, you know, when you don't feel like, you know, slogging through. No, I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, chipping away at the ice cream. Can you alternate with an Ensure, right?
That's a good point.
So, like,
right.
Maybe 3 pints of ice cream and 2 Ensures a day. I'm just saying.
From the 630, please stop talking about this. I feel like I'm going to barf.
Oh, the ice cream?
Yeah, I think that was the ice. That was earlier.
But see, but them texting that we shouldn't talk about it anymore made us talk about it again. So sad.
From 312, on a serious note, I went on a low-carb diet twice in my life with great success. I'm just about to do it again. And tonight, as a test, I made an amazing low-carb pizza with a flourless spaghetti squash crust. To quote you, Craig, it was amazing. That's cool.
I went on a low-carb diet once, and my cholesterol went right through the roof.
Oh, wow.
But I did lose a lot of weight. I just had very high cholesterol. I ran the risk of, you know, dying of a heart attack. So that was fun.
Yeah, that doesn't
sound. Oh, my God. What were you eating?
That sounds awful.
Eggs and cheese with meat and meat and cheese and cheesy meat.
I think
there's no vegetables in there.
I feel like the meat of the cheese might have been a problem with that.
Yeah.
The cheese-covered meat.
Yes, go ahead, Craig.
Oh, sorry. From the 214, Patty, if you do wrestle, you'll need to get Elliot waxed.
Actually, I don't wax. I shave, but then I let it grow back a little stubbly. So when I get you in a headlock, you really feel it. You know, you really.
So far tonight, we've learned that Elliot likes to shave. He likes to cuddle with large mastiffs. And he likes something to hold on to.
Right.
So those are the three things.
He likes to get his body hair.
You could be the grater.
Involved.
The cheese grater.
Yeah, because you rub people on your chest. the image.
What? I don't even know what we're doing.
Because the rough stubble.
From the 773, Patty, I love the video as much as you do. When the other two Blackhawks show up, I cry. So touching. Yes. These guys really care.
They really do. It's a beautiful thing. And, yeah, again, thank you to the Blackhawks. I forgot that when we went to the Blackhawks convention, Andrew Shaw came over and wanted to take a picture with Declan in his wheelchair. So that was a very sweet moment. Those guys are they genuinely are good guys. And that's, you know, but beyond being amazing on the ice, they are wonderful human beings. And I can't believe I'm a part of this organization. I'm with the Blackhawks, the radio station for the Blackhawks. We have their contract till 3000, the year 3000.
Yep.
How long
Just
did we sign
3,
that
000.
For? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it was. That's a good deal. Lock that in. All right. Oh, by the way, Esmeralda, you and I probably spend more time in fitting rooms than these guys. Do you shop online, or are you still going into fitting rooms? Because I never have time anymore.
No, well, I can't do online because I need to try everything on, and I get really lazy about having to return stuff. So I have to go in and try it on.
Right, you have to know that you like it.
Yeah.
Because there's a story online, and I had a weird exchange with a salesperson. I was in Atlantic City, and I had a guy salesperson, which is just weird anyway. It was at one of those black and white, the black house white, what is it called? Black market, black, I don't know. It's a black and white store. It's all, everything is black and white. Every season they'll have something with like a shade of red or purple. But they had a male salesperson. It's all women's clothing. And I came out of the dressing room in the skirt and top, and he was like, "That looks great, but you're going to have to wear a girdle with it." And I was just like, "What?" Yeah, I was like, "What this is like the worst shopping moment I have ever I mean, I've had bad moments. I make a joke that I think half of all mental disorders begin in a women's fitting room, because that's when it's just you, the mirror, and clothes that don't fit well. And I start regretting like everything that I've ever eaten and all the times that didn't work out or where I just choices I've made in life. And this guy wants to tell me I need and girdle. Are we in 1962? What just happened to me? But have you ever had a salesperson? Because I don't like dealing with salespeople. I mean, I've been in retail. I know it's not easy, and the stores kind of harass their employees to be pushy. But I do not enjoy the salesperson experience.
If I need help, I will ask. Right. I don't just leave me alone. I will come get you if I need anything. And right. See, but again, it's like that thing with that salesperson. It's like, no. I can make fun of myself. You can't make fun of me, or you can't say things like that. I can say I need a girdle. You can't.
Exactly. I mean, like, I'm going to judge for myself. And if I want to go out in public with my muffin top squishing out over the waistband of my pants, that's up to me. There was a woman that was shopping with her daughter for a prom dress. They were just trying on different gowns. And the salesperson came in and told the 16-year-old girl that she would have to wear Spanx. And they showed a picture of her online, and the 16-year-old looks great. She's a taller girl. She's very athletic. And I didn't even see a pooch. I don't even know why she was telling her to wear Spanx. It was ridiculous. But there's a worse story at a Walmart in Edmonton, Alberta, and a female Walmart employee was caught on camera refusing to let a plus-size woman try on extra-large clothes because she might stretch them. She grabs the clothing away from her. She said she couldn't try them on. She said, "Don't push it." And what a horrible experience. And it's at Walmart. I mean, I could almost, I don't know. I think even in high end stores, they wouldn't be that nasty.
This is like a Pretty Woman situation.
Yeah. Big mistake.
Yeah. You come back and be like, "Forget you."
Mm-hmm. The salesperson said, "Don't try to put something on that's obviously not going to fit. That's all I'm asking." And then she grabs the hangers out of the woman's hands. I don't understand.
By the way, have you ever tried anything on and gotten stuck in it?
Yeah, that's happened.
And I've been alone. I'm like, oh no, how am I going to get out of this?
I know. The salespeople never like to hear, "Can I have some scissors? I'm going to need some scissors.
I'm stuck in your clothes."
Well, because they put the zippers now underneath the armpit for dresses, like along your rib cage, which if it's snug at all, is impossible to get at. There's a range of motion that you no longer have. And there's some of all these like form fitting dresses. It doesn't make any. Yeah, some things I get stuck in. I do with jeans. It's demoralizing when I put one leg in and I can tell already it's not going to go all the way up. I don't push my luck with jeans.
Yeah. No, I usually can get the two legs in, and then I start going up and go, oh, no? All right. And
well,
we're
that's
off.
Because Well, that's because low-rise jeans are not made for women. They're made for some 12-year-old boy in China who's just wandering around going, where are my pants? That's how he sounds in my head. I don't know why. Yes, he has an English accent. Back off, Elliot. They're not. They're low-riders are like, I don't understand the concept. And they have, I don't know, why do they bother putting a zipper on them? They're like, the zippers are just like, not even an inch. It's just a zip. It's not even a zip. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm high waist all the way.
Yeah, I have to go high waist.
High waist. Yeah, not for the look of it.
No, for the fit. For me, it's for the fit of it. Yeah. I got to get it. Yeah. Well, there are plenty of women who wear jeans that don't cover everything. You know, and I always laugh when there are moms wearing low-rise jeans and they're like squatting down to take care of their toddler. And you're like, whoa, that is way more than I was expecting to see today.
See, but now the style is to wear a high waist and wear a short shirt with it. It's like, nuh-uh. No.
Oh, our crop tops back?
Is yep.
It's midriff?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's weird. No. It's weird with the high pants.
I think I was 12 when I got away with being able to do that. I don't think.
I've seen some people pull it off, but with high-waisted pants, I can't deal with it. You get a lot of mom butt with it.
Mom butt.
Yeah. No, they get mom butt, and it's like, no. Mm-mm.
What is mom? Yes. You lost. Mom butt? I've heard of mom jeans. Whatever.
Yeah,
mom
so
butt?
You know what mom jeans do? They make their butts like pancakes.
Yeah, it's flat.
And weird. Flat butt. And oddly shaped, even though their butts probably aren't like that.
Okay. Here, Elliot, this is something you might like. There's a new special service for the ride sharing under Uber. They're offering to their customers doggies on demand. Prepare for the puppy bowl by creating your own puppy bowl. Uber Chicago. And did you know about this? This is Anti-Cruelty Society.
Yeah, that was today, actually.
Oh, we missed it?
You missed it. Sorry.
We can't have any puppies?
Sorry.
Yeah, why didn't you bring us puppies today?
What is wrong with you? Yeah.
It's 1
puppies
in the morning.
And ice cream.
They're
how much better would
this point?
Oh, that's good. That's true.
Maddie, I think we have to take a break while we scold Elliot for not having any puppies.
No, puppies next time. It's a cuddle huddle. More after this on 720 WGN.